Grab your lunch and get ready to listen to conversations that connect, communicate, and collaborate with our local Catholic community. You are listening to Epiphany. Here's your host, communications evangelist, and certified life and leadership coach, Vanessa Denha-Garmo.
70 degrees and cloudy in Southeast Michigan today here on this Tuesday, September 23rd. We have two guests joining us here this afternoon, and I'm so glad you tuned in to our conversation here during this lunch hour. Rebecca Loveland will be with us on the planning team for the upcoming Michigan Catholic Women's Conference in Lansing on October 11th. It'll be at the Lansing Center, and we'll be talking with her about that. Women from across Michigan are invited to come together to focus on their faith and experience a fellowship of sisterhood in Christ Jesus. Throughout the day, women will be encouraged and inspired to ignite their spirits and grow their faith by hearing from Catholic speakers, engaging in praise and worship music, and celebrating Holy Mass with our bishop. So we'll talk with her about that today. David and Mary Ann Robinson, I met through R.J. Lomas not too long ago, a few months ago, in fact, and they are a couple who are going to be joining us to talking about their own faith journey. Dave grew up in Ohio and became blind at the age of 19, while his wife became blind at birth. So we're going to be talking about to both of them about their faith journey and their own personal experience on their faith journey, and just how they struggle in life and overcome their challenges together as a couple. So Marianne will be with us. Marianne and David Robinson will be with us. And I love to share these faith stories. Perhaps we'll get epiphany moments out of both of them here today. But these stories help us connect to one another. And that's what we always talk about here on Epiphany, is that connecting, communicating, collaborating with people in our own backyard. And these stories help us on our own faith journey, and that's why we share them with you. So we'll be talking with David and Marianne Robinson here today. I also want to remind you that we still have a couple tickets to give away to an event coming up in October, and we'd love for you to sit at the table with me and Ronnie for the Shrine of Jesus' Divine Mercy Center Vision Dinner on October 10th at the Mirage Banquet Hall in Clinton Township. If you call in today, we'll give you those two tickets, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. It's an opportunity for faith, fellowship, networking, meeting people in our own Catholic community. This is another way to collaborate. If you've known someone that's been fallen away from the church, who's never been exposed to the church, this is a great opportunity to evangelize the faith. Bring them to this event. And the Shrine of the Jesus Divine Mercy Center is, honestly, I feel the Holy Spirit every time I walk into that center. It's such a beautiful ministry. I've known about them for several years, and Catherine Lanny, the foundress, has been on. Sister Piper's been on several times. We love having them engaged with us here on Ave Maria Radio. So I would love for a couple more of our listeners to join us on October 10th for this beautiful dinner, the Shrine of Jesus Divine Mercy Center Vision Dinner on October 10th at the Mirage Banquet Hall in Clinton Township. So call today. We have two more tickets left, 877-573-7825. I also want to remind you that I'm going to be facilitating a workshop for the Communion of Catholic Coaches. So calling all Catholic coaches, consultants, authors, experts in their industries who are ready to amplify your voice and become recognized thought leaders in your niche. So you can join me for a 7-week workshop with the Community of Catholic Coaches, DIY PR for Coaches, how to get an interview and be interviewed and become a thought leader in your niche. This starts Monday, September 29th, and runs through November 10th, Mondays at 4 to 5:30. And this is a hands-on series that I'll guide you through crafting your personal brand. So pitching and preparing for interviews, promoting your message with purpose and clarity, integrating faith into your public presence. Whether you're just starting out or ready to level up, this workshop will equip you to be your own publicist with confidence and conviction. So I have links on this to my social media at Vanessa Denha-Garmo. You can also go to epiphanycommunications.com and email me there, info at epiphanycommunications.com, and I can give you that information. But you can register at the Communion of Catholic Coaches. Communion of Catholic Coaches. So we'd love to have you join us. This Friday is our book club discussion, The Lamb's Supper by Dr. Scott Hahn. Jeff Kassab and I will be talking about that book about the Holy Mass. And we'd love for you to join that conversation. You can call in live on Friday or email us questions or comments. I know a lot of people are beginning in the habit of private messaging me and Jeff. That's okay, but you can also email us epiphany@AveMariaRadio.net as well. So we'd love to hear your comments or questions about this wonderful book written by Dr. Scott Hahn. I know a lot of people ask us questions on our social media pages. That's fine as well. We'll read them on the air if you don't want to call in live. I want to look at today's Catholic Daily Reflections today, of course, with a little bit of a Catholic Coach's commentary sprinkled in, a little bit of my Epiphany insights. Luke, this is from the Gospel of Luke. Here's an excerpt from today's Gospel reading. The mother Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they wish to see you." He said to them in reply, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it." The term brothers in this passage is obviously not to be understood that Jesus had blood brothers. It is a dogma of our faith that Jesus was the only child of Mary. At that time, it was common practice to refer one's extended family as brothers. This would have especially applied to Jesus' cousins and perhaps even those who were unrelated by blood but were from the same village. Okay, this is very common. I tell people this all the time, especially Protestants. This is very common in the Chaldean community. We call everybody brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. You don't have to be related to me. If you're Chaldean and you're an elderly person, if you're like my mother's age, I'm going to call you aunt. I'm going to call you, Amtu or Haltu. If you're an older man, my dad's age, I'm going to call you Ammu or Halu. That's uncle or aunt, depending on kind of what side of the family it is. If I know you from my mom's side, it's Halu. If I know you from my dad's side, it's Ammu. Same with Haltu and Amtu, my mom or my dad's side. That's a sign of respect. We call people cousins all the time. We're not all related. Probably in the Catholic community. That's an ongoing joke. My daughter has friends from school, and she calls them their cousins. They're not really related. But it's very common in the Catholic community to do that. And I tell that to Protestants all the time when they confuse this verse. So, as these relatives of Jesus stood outside and announced their presence, what did they expect Jesus to do? His brothers might have been able to try to talk some sense into him. We know from the passage in the Gospels that some of Jesus' extended family thought he was out of his mind. Therefore, it's possible that these brothers were also there to resolve an extended family conflict that was erupting as Jesus began his public ministry. Jesus' response was not a rude response. This is clear from the fact that Jesus lived the perfection of charity. But true charity is always grounded in the truth. Jesus spoke a truth that cut through the merely human ties and conflicts that were driving these brothers by saying, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it." He's talking to us, me and you, brothers and sisters. He's talking to all of us. Right? We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus was challenging his brothers to stop looking at him only in an earthly way. Everyone, including his relatives, needed to learn to see Jesus as the Son of the Father in heaven. It was the act of accepting Jesus' divine identity and submitting in obedience to the will of the Father that established a much deeper bond with him. That is the relationship that Jesus desired with his earthly brothers. That is the relationship he desires with us. The mother Jesus, on the other hand, was also perfect in every way. She was free from the disorder of sin. Even her mind was clear, being filled with perfect wisdom and understanding. Therefore, it was reported to her what Jesus said. She would have understood and believed. Saint Bede said that when we hear the word of God and obey it, we become Jesus' mother by bringing him forth into the world through our words and actions. What a wonderful way to ask Mother Mary for intercessory prayer. Help me be more like you, Mother, by bringing your son forth into the world through my words and actions. What a wonderful daily prayer. This also makes us Jesus' brothers because our obedience makes us all children of the Father in heaven. By the gift of the fullness of grace, our Blessed Mother would fully understand that her unity with her Son was primarily the result of their shared obedience to the Father's will. She not only experienced the Son of God being conceived within her womb, she also had the profound experience of conceiving him in her heart through her obedience to the will of the Father. That conception of Jesus within her Immaculate Heart would have been unmistakably clear to her and the cause of her greatest joy. For that reason, she would have treasured the spiritual motherhood of her Son as the greatest gift of all, even more than the gift of natural motherhood. So let's reflect, brothers and sisters, today upon the fact that you are also invited to the mother and the brother of Jesus. You share in these holy callings through obedience to the will of the Father. The more clearly you hear God speak and the more fully you obey all that he says will determine the depth of the spiritual union you have with him. Our natural selves must give way to the supernatural life of grace. Make the choice with our Blessed Mother to pursue the glorious life of grace so that you will conceive the Son of God in your heart. Become a true child of the Father in heaven and become a spiritual brother or sister of our Lord. So let us pray today and ask St. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, for intercessory prayer on our feast day. I believe it's tomorrow, but my divine, is it today or tomorrow? I think it's today. My divine Lord, your love for your earthly mother was perfect in every way. That earthly bond was transformed and elevated by your spiritual union with her on account of your mutual obedience to the will of the Father. Please draw me into your divine family by helping me to listen to you and obey all that the Father speaks. Jesus, I trust in you. It is approaching 13 minutes past the hour here on Epiphany on this Tuesday afternoon. We got to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Women from across Michigan are invited to come together to focus on their faith and experience the fellowship of sisterhood in Christ Jesus. It all takes place at the Michigan Catholic Women's Conference Saturday, October 11th. Throughout the day, women will be encouraged and inspired to ignite their spirits and grow their faith by hearing from Catholic speakers, engaging in praise and worship music, as well as celebrating Holy Mass with our bishops. Go to MichiganCWC.org today.
Honey, did you ever call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor for that free roof inspection?
I knew I forgot something.
Roof leaks can cause mold buildup or even roof collapse. Protect your family today by calling local Catholics Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your roof, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Therese of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Hi everybody, Dr. Ray Guarendi here. As a father who has helped homeschool my 10 children, I know the challenges you face. That's why you should check out Sylvan Learning Centers for personalized support, tailored to your child's unique needs. Expert tutors in math, reading, and writing provide fun, interactive lessons with both in-person and online options that fit seamlessly into your homeschooling routine.
Visit sylvanlearning.com. Mention Dr. Ray for 10% off at participating centers.
Here on Epiphany on this Tuesday afternoon with our first guest of the afternoon. Happy to welcome Becky Loveland. I'm the planning team for the upcoming Michigan Catholic Women's Conference in Lansing being held on October 11th. Becky, thank you so much for joining us here today in Epiphany.
Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, pleasure to talk with you. So give us an overview of the Michigan Catholic Women's Conference coming up.
Yeah, so the conference will be held on Saturday, October 11th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Lansing Center in Lansing, Michigan. And this is a conference that was begun about, since 2012 it's been happening. And since 2021, we've opened it up to be a Michigan-wide conference. So we look for women from every diocese to attend this conference. Our theme this year is Living the Promise. And we're basing our messaging on Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, which is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And when we look at this Bible verse, a lot of times it kind of cuts off with the first sentence. And we really know that trust is so important. Trust is really going to be the key red thread through this entire conference. But how do you then take that and make your path straight? And so we're excited to have four amazing speakers who will take us through that red thread of how do you trust, and then how does that play out in your everyday life?
Mm-hmm. You know, that reminds me of sometimes the challenges I personally have in my life, Becky, surrendering, right? In order to surrender, you must trust in the Lord. So the first step is trusting, right? And that's why that surrendering can be so difficult. But at the same time, I can tell you personally, every time I've surrendered, it has been the most powerful and profound change in my life. It's such a shift, especially when it's big things in my life. So I feel it's important to remind people that our trust is in the Lord and not of the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that idea of surrendering is something that we will play out in a tangible way in the conference. We're really excited for the women to come and have that opportunity to really think about what have they not surrendered, or what is the first thing they need to surrender in that trust moment with Jesus, and to be able to have that opportunity at the conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a first step. And I think sometimes, Becky, it's such a reminder that we get so caught up in the culture and we forget our life should always be centered on Christ. And I'm not criticizing anybody. When I say we, I'm including me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up, especially when you're bombarded with social media and traditional media and all the noise in the world, and that we forget. And the chaos, and especially what's ensued the last couple of weeks, has overwhelmed so many people that we forget that, you know, the trust is in Christ. And I was actually, so happy to see Erica Kirk say that when she forgave the man who killed her son, and she said, "Thy will be done." Talk about trust in Jesus. I mean, what an important reminder for all of us.
Absolutely. And what I'm really excited about is that our speakers are all connected into that messaging as well. So our main speaker, Emily Wilson Hussam, she's just come out with a book that really gets into how do we think about the world and how do we think about that trust that we have in the Lord. And I'm so excited to hear what she has to say, because that's what she's been writing about. Mm-hmm. The second speaker we have is Meg Hunter Kilmer, and she talked all about the saints and how they are witnesses to us, in that surrendering and in that trusting of Jesus, and how that has played out physically in their lives many times. Mm-hmm. And then we have Sherry Wolfer, and she'll be kicking the conference off for us this year. She's in kind of a different spot than we've had her in past years. And she's really going to be kicking off that conversation of who can you trust?
Yeah.
and how do you start that? And then finally, we have Father Matthias Thelen, and he is such a healing.
Love him.
Healing priest.
Yeah.
And we expect, he will take us through the adoration moment, and really that moment when we think that women will have that chance to really connect with Jesus and build that trust right in the moment.
You know, you put together some powerhouse speakers. I know Father Thalen very well. I also know Sherry Wolford. I've interviewed her. I've read her books, and I'm a trained facilitator for Called and Gifted. So you've put together some wonderful speakers. What are you hoping the attendees, Becky, will take away from the conference this year?
Really, we hope that they will take away some learnings. Obviously, it's a moment to be able to learn something new and hear something new. Even if this is your 10th time attending, we know there'll be something new that you'll take away. It's also really to be able to have that opportunity to surrender, to spend time with other women and hearing their experiences and realizing that we're all in this together. Just like you said, it's a we, it's always a we, and having that opportunity to live closer to Jesus. And then finally, really thinking about how has he played out in our stories already, and how do we make him present and true to those around us? So many times, you know, we've had an experience that Jesus was right in the middle of it, you know, and like you say, you surrendered and he was right in the middle of it. And so how can we be that witness just by telling our own story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really important because we really connect with each other through those stories that we share with one another. And I think that's a wonderful example as well. We're talking with Becky Loveland here today and the planning team for the upcoming Michigan Catholic Women's Conference in Lansing on October 11th. Becky, how do we get tickets? And before you answer that, I also want you to answer the importance of inviting somebody to attend this with you. I'm a big advocate of the invitation as a way to evangelize the faith. This is a soft entry into the faith, especially somebody who's fallen away or is struggling in some way. You know, let the Lord do the heavy lifting. All you're doing is making the invitation. So can you kind of speak to that as well when you give out the information of how to attend the conference?
Yeah, that is so true. That you know, I would say that my own experience was one of just attending and then having a real experience with Jesus at the conference, which changed my life. So exactly what you said is if you are looking for a way to bring someone in, all you have to do is bring them in the door. And we try to do the rest with the speakers and adoration and mass. There's opportunity for confession. There's intercessory prayer that happens throughout the day. And the music is amazing. So that was one of the things for me, is just hearing that praise and worship music and having it uplift my spirit when I left. Like that's the first thing I did, was start listening to Christian music again. Mm. We have about 150 tickets left for the conference. So we will bring in almost 1,200 women for this day. And so there's just a few tickets left. Please get them at MichiganCWC.org. And you can go online and buy your tickets right there.
Becky, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got involved in this ministry for the Women's Conference.
Yeah, so like I said, I attended my first conference about 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And as I left, I was so impressed by the day as well as my own experience. Like I said, I felt Jesus for the first time. Open my heart like I never had before. And so when I wrote on my survey at the end, I said, you know, I'd be interested in helping with this. This is a great event. And one of the women at my parish was on the committee, and she noticed my name, and so she got me connected into the planning team. And ever since, I have been surrounded by a group of 14 amazing women who have taken me on a journey. As we plan the conference and we discern the conference together, and we think about those ways that women need to come in and be a part of it. And, you know, I always say that my first conference changed my life. And I went with my mom for my birthday. That's how I got there.
That's what a wonderful birthday experience. So I'd like to ask Becky whenever possible about those light bulb moments where the Lord really shines truth on you, those epiphany moments here in Epiphany. And we have many of them throughout our lifetime. Can you share an epiphany moment for us today?
Well, I'll just talk about how when I was at my first conference, my epiphany moment really was I could feel the Lord breaking my heart open from some of the hardness that I'd hardened around it. Like I physically could feel it. And in that, I think, was that feeling of like, you are completely loved.
Wow.
And when that happens, you like, there's just no going back. You know, like I walked out of the day and I was like, wow, that was crazy. And wow, I want more of that. And it just opened my eyes. At the time, my husband was in the process of converting to Catholicism. So it opened my eyes to all of that. You know, I was his sponsor, so I went through all that training again, and it really opened my eyes to all of the catechism in a different way from when I had learned it, you know, in sixth grade or seventh grade before confirmation. So really, I think that was one of those epiphany moments for me, for sure.
Any last words, Becky, you want to share with people today about the conference? And, you know, is it women 18 and older or teenagers? You know, is this an audience for teenagers? Tell us about the target audience.
Yeah, our target audience is, we would say that young adults definitely are a part of our target audience. We say about down to 12 or 13 years old is the lower limit. But we also welcome a lot of babies because we want nursing moms, and we have space for them as well to attend. So we do see a lot of babies in the space as well. And we target everyone in between, you know, basically from 12 to 99. We have something there for everyone. We do have great shopping as well as we get into that holiday season. There's plenty of vendors who come. And a full hall of them, so there's a lot of holiday shopping and faith-based gifts available.
That's wonderful.
It's really great. And so, you know, people can also check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Again, it's Michigan CWC on both of those, or MichiganCWC.org on the internet.
Great. Thank you so much. Any last words, any last thoughts for our listeners before we go? If we let you go?
Just exactly what you said. Bring a friend.
Yes.
Come. If you're planning to come, bring a friend. Get your tickets quickly because we want to see you on October 11th.
So, Becky, you know, a lot of women plan, like, girls' nights out or girls' weekend. Make this a girls' day out. You know what I mean? Get your sisters, you know, and your sisters in Christ, your high school friends, your college roommates, your aunts, uncles, nieces, those women in your life, right? Your mom, your grandmother, and make a day out of it, you know, for a girl's day out.
It can be a very special day for sure.
Yeah. Becky, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you and all that you're doing.
Thank you for having me. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Becky Loveland, planning team for the upcoming Michigan Catholic Women's Conference in Lansing, being held on October 11th. It'll be at the Lansing Center. We'll put all the links of the information up on the Epiphany Archive section at AveMariaRadio.net. So you can find out more information, register there, invite friends to go, learn more about it, read up about the speakers. They have a list of wonderful speakers that I'm sure you'll take some wonderful nuggets with you as you leave that conference. So stay with us, everyone. When we come back, we have two guests joining us. David and Mary Ann Robinson will be with us. Don't go away.
For over 40 years, Leader Business in Ann Arbor has delivered top-quality copiers, printers, scanners, and software solutions, all backed by expert service. Rooted in faith and integrity, they ensure your operations run smoothly with fast response times and proactive maintenance. Join the many Catholic-owned organizations that trust Leader Business. Visit leaderbusiness.com or call 734-253-2534. Leader Business. Equip. Serve. Support.
Light of the East. Weekends on Ave Maria Radio. I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, it should be obvious to anyone that the problems besetting America and the whole world will need divine intervention. It is to the intercession of the Mother of God that the church and civilization has often turned.
Now on Ave Maria Radio's newest FM stations, 105.5 FM in Southfield and 107.9 FM in Ann Arbor.
Looking for a good book to read? Then check out the Epiphany Book Club, where Vanessa Den Hagarmo and Jeff Kassab bring you a new book to discuss every month. Read along with us, then call in and join the discussion on the Epiphany Book Club. This month's book is The Lamb's Supper, The Mass as Heaven on Earth by Scott Hahn, and the discussion will be on Friday, September 26th. Get your copy today in our bookstore at AveMariaRadio.net.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit GlassDoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint. Oh yeah!
I had the pleasure of meeting our next two guests through R.J. Lomos at a speaking event he invited me to, and I met David and Mary Ann Robinson, and I was talked to them briefly, and I thought, wow, it would be wonderful if we asked them to join us here in Epiphany and share with us their story. Both of them are blind. Dave grew up in Ohio, became blind at age 19, and Marianne Robinson was born blind, and they're going to share with us their journey as a couple and their faith journey. Thank you so much, David and Marianne Robinson, for joining us here today.
It's a privilege and an honor and a blessing to be with you. Thank you, Vanessa.
Yes, thank you, Vanessa. Yeah.
Thank you. So, you know, I met you both through RJ, and it was a pleasure meeting you both, and I heard your story briefly, and I thought, let's bring you on to talk about your faith journey and overcoming some of your own challenges with our listeners today. So tell us a little bit, you know, we'll start with Mary Ann and then Dave. Mary Ann, tell us a little bit about your story. I know, Dave, you grew up in Ohio, became blind at age 19. Mary Ann, you were born blind. Tell us a little bit about that, and then you could share with us how the two of you met, and we'll get into your faith journey.
I was blind since birth. I was a premature baby, and my lungs weren't fully developed. And I developed respiratory distress syndrome and was placed in an incubator and was given high doses of oxygen that affected my eyes, and they caused my blindness. But I was able to live, and the condition that I had was retinopathy of prematurity, which basically meant that my retinas and my optic nerves were affected. And it's a condition that can be treated now.
I'm
a cradle Catholic, and I lived in Jackson all my life, went to school here, went to public schools because there weren't resources available for me as a blind student, and then I was able to go to our Catholic high school at Lumen Christi for my last 2 years with the help of an itinerant teacher who was an advocate for me. And then I worked for a long time in the mental health field, and then in 2007, I went to a convention of a blind organization in Michigan, and Dave and I met there, and he was a membership chair, and we were wanting to start a chapter in Jackson, and he called me, and we started talking, and then we met, and then we started dating, and the rest was history, and Dave was Protestant all of his life until... Yeah. We met, and he wanted to worship together, and he explored Catholicism, and we ended up getting married in 2010, and he came into the church in 2011.
Wow. So, Dave, tell us a little bit about your add to that journey. I know you met the Convention for Blind People in 2007, but you became blind at 19. So tell us a little bit about that and then your path to Catholicism.
Well, Vanessa, I grew up as, my family didn't really practice any faith as I was growing up. I did get connected with the Lutheran Church because of my Boy Scout activities. So, and then when I went blind at 19 and then had a lot of surgeries and stuff and all those kinds of things, and I left to go from Ohio to California because I had a good friend of mine that lived out there, and we were going to get together. And so I went out to California, and he was always a very strong Christian and attended church and on a regular basis. And so I started going with him to a Baptist church. So that was something that we incorporated into our regular lives. And then life moves on, and I moved for another job and got married and had I joined a couple of different churches. Well, mostly it was Baptist, but pretty much Protestant most of my life. And I had two children, and they went to private Christian schools all their high school, and when I was divorced, part of my work activity here in Michigan, I had to come to Jackson a lot, so Mary Ann and I got together there. So, but the point was that I'm trying to make is that I did have a strong Christian background with different faiths, but nothing anywhere near the Catholic Church. So when I met Mary Ann, and my real desire was to be able to worship together, and so I started to exploring the Catholic faith, and had a lot of questions. Certainly had to be able to say, you know, this is what I'd like to do, but I'm not going to join the Catholic Church just to make that happen without knowing something about it. So, and as I grew in knowledge of the Catholic Church, it became even stronger for me because I just felt that the Catholic faith, for me anyway, had all the answers that I had been doubting all my life, even as a Protestant. And each time I thought about something and prayed about something or talked to our priest about something, it was always able to have a good answer. I'd say, oh, well, that's why we do that. That's why we do that, or that's why we believe this. So I was fully engaged when I became a Catholic in 2011 and have been on a growing faith journey since then. And it's just a beautiful experience for me, and then a beautiful, beautiful experience, too, because we're able to share it together.
Mm. And, you know, can you elaborate, both of you, on that sharing that journey together, that faith journey as a married couple? What would you say to other married couples today, especially those who are facing their own challenges?
Well, I think what you have to do is you just have to, at least my way of looking at it, is you have to just persevere and together with whatever question or concern comes up, because if you don't take that opportunity to share your faith with your spouse, and you try to do it on your own, it just doesn't seem to work very well. So I would say that perseverance and just a decision to be a faithful Catholic is the most important.
Mm. Vanessa, I think it's really important if you're able to go to Mass together as a couple, to try to really work hard to do that, to make a commitment to make Jesus the most important part of your life every day. Dave and I are going to daily Mass now. We pray the Rosary together daily. We've read the Bible in the year a couple of times. We've read the Catechism in the year. We're on our third year of doing that. We're on a hope and healing prayer team at our parish, and our parish life is the most important part of our life. but we're really on fire with love for the Eucharist. We believe he's truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity, as he said that he was at the Last Supper. And I believe that the Eucharist is the greatest gift that Jesus has given humanity. And if I had my way, every person on earth would be a Catholic. And when we went to the Eucharistic Congress last year in Indianapolis, we were blessed to do that. We spent 5 days there, and I said I felt like I was in heaven for 5 days. And it was the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful experiences of our lives.
Because wow. One of the things, Vanessa, that we really do like to do is to share our faith with others who have a similar belief and enthusiasm for our Lord. But we are also like the idea of being able to share our faith with those who don't believe or who have concerns about the Catholic faith, because that's what we were asked to do by Jesus Christ. And it's difficult sometimes. It's difficult with strangers. It's difficult with families. And yet, you just have to. We just pray before we get into situations, and we let the Holy Spirit just direct our words and our actions, so that we can at least be able to plant the seed or give comfort or something to that individual who is really struggling with either a personal issue or their faith journey or whatever it might be, because we can't rely on what we know and our knowledge. We're just relying on our Lord to direct us.
Mm. That's what an important message, too, relying on the Lord to direct you and placing your faith and trust in God. Oftentimes, I know a lot of people in marriage ministry, and one of the things they tell me is the first thing they ask couples is, do you pray together or do you go to church together, David and Marianne? And most of the time the answer is no. What would you say to couples who are struggling to even pray together, let alone go to church together?
Just start out doing it little by little. Just take 5 minutes. Like I know lots of people say this, but it really is true. Just sit down, take 5 minutes, pray the Lord's Prayer, pray, and then pray a decade of the Rosary or just something to share together, and then maybe just sit there and talk for a few minutes about your day, your situation, whatever it might be, and then go from there, expand that and make it a deliberate time for you as a couple together to do that.
And I guess I'd also recommend that if they're able to carve out a time when they can find a Mass that they can attend together, to start doing that. And I think too many people forget that their number one priority in their life should be getting people that they love to heaven. And the only way that we can do that is to make our relationship with God the number one priority in our life. Every day, from the minute we wake up, we need to pray to him and think about him and ask for guidance and pray throughout the day. But our number one priority needs to be putting Jesus first every single day for the rest of our lives. And couples need to start working on that little by little. And it'll grow. If they start a little with a few minutes and ask God to help them and ask for guidance from the Holy Spirit, that time will grow, because Jesus will be glad that they're willing to do that, and he'll give them all the tools that they need to grow their relationship with him.
Hmm.
Yes, I found that it's amazing that you think that, so much time, if you're going to devote an hour to adoration or 15 minutes to prayer time, first of all, you think, well, that's such a large commitment. It's a difficult thing for me to do, so I'm just not, I don't know, I'm not going to start it. But you'll find that when you do those things and you take the time, then it's just a part of what you do. It's a part of your life. It's a part of how you feel and how you live. And it's nothing. I mean, it's nothing in terms of taking away from other things you might feel you need to get done. It enhances the rest of your life. It doesn't just deter from the rest of your life.
Amen to that. I'd like to ask you both a last question about your epiphany moments. We have many of these in our lifetime where the Lord really shines truth on our life. Can you each share an epiphany moment with our listeners today?
Go ahead, Sue.
I've had a lot of them, but last year we were blessed to be able to go to the Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis and to spend five beautiful days with 60,000 like-minded Catholics was one of the greatest experiences in my life, and I felt like I had been in heaven for 5 days. The masses, the adoration, just being with people, the hymns, and being with like-minded people. I just felt like I was in heaven for 5 days, and the way to do that, I think, is to really grow with your love for the Eucharist, and as you begin to receive Jesus more often, you'll have more epiphany moments because he wants to bring everybody to him.
Mm, that is so true.
Yes, I feel the same way, too. I think when you're sharing your love of Christ with others who are similar, and I've had several times when I've been talking to a gentleman at the Knights of Columbus or someone like that, where you just say, to see 50 guys at our Knights meeting or at our Knights assembly, either one, and we're all praying and we're all sharing, and it's just, and you hear guys start talking about, and one of these times when I was talking about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and a gentleman that was there that was sort of on the margins, and he wasn't sure whether he wanted to fully engage in his faith or not. And he just said, he says, you know, I just have to make the decision and then grow my faith. And I thought, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And thank you, Lord, for giving him that message. It was my words, but it was his message to the other gentleman's heart. And that was kind of neat for me, because it was really cool to see somebody saying, you know, what you said makes sense, and I'm going to go do it.
I love that. David and Marianne Robinson here with us today. Thank you, R.J. Lomas, for the invitation. One last question. We have a few minutes, so I wanted to get this in as well. You know, there are a lot of couples who are struggling with one or each spouse with disabilities in some way, shape, or form, and they may have come at, you know, later in life, but they're struggling with that as a couple. What advice would you say to them of, you know, supporting each other in these challenges when you're dealing with health issues or disabilities in some way?
You know, Vanessa, I think that one of the most important things that, at least that I have found, with a person that's going through a disability or health issue that causes a disability, is that we as individuals want to give, you know, want to be those who we love. We want to make sure they're good, they're taken care of, and all that stuff. But what happens is the people around this person with a disability cares for them, but what they do is they take away their dignity as an individual, as a human being. And I think that we need to be sure that when we're offering help to people, that we're doing it in a loving way, but also protecting that individual's dignity as a person. And it's so easy for us to not recognize that, but it's probably the key thing that has to happen for that individual. Yes, I might have a disability, but I still have abilities, and I'm still a human, and I need to be treated as such.
And we're all born in the image and likeness of God, and there's not a person on this earth that doesn't have one area that might be difficult. So all of us have some sort of disability, and may some are more visible than others. This is the answer to help us work through those challenges. And we need to focus on our strengths and love them and be the neighbor that Jesus wanted us to be, and recognize if we put our faith and trust in him, we can overcome any obstacles. And we're not going to leave this earth without any suffering, but if we have any, we need to unite any suffering or difficulty that we experience with Jesus' sufferings on the cross. And if we're able to do that successfully, we will get through it, and we will get to heaven as long as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus.
And I would say to anybody that's dealing with a disability, I would say to them, just recognize what you can do. Go out and live your life. Don't let anybody get in your way of accomplishing what you want to accomplish. Knock down the barriers. Get other people around you to help you knock down those barriers. And live your life the best that you can, because this is the life that the Lord has given to you, and you need to take that effort. And don't sit back and feel sorry for yourself, because it doesn't work very well. And so you want to be able to just go out and be an active part of your family, of your community, of your parish, and wherever area you go into. So just my suggestion is just recognize it and go do and live your life.
Right, and we need to love Jesus with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. And we also need to pray to our Blessed Lady if we need to, and ask her to intercede with Jesus to help us. And if we do that, we will be able to make it.
Accomplish it.
Amen. Yeah. David and Marianne Robinson, a pleasure to have you on Epiphany. Thank you both for being with us here today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for asking us. And God bless you and your show.
God bless you and both of you and your ministries. Thank you so much. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to wrap up on a Tuesday and talk about who's coming up on Epiphany tomorrow.
Looking for a retreat venue for your youth group, sports team, ministry, or staff event? St. Francis Retreat Center in DeWitt sits on a picturesque 95-acre property complete with three large conference rooms, two chapels, two dining rooms with commercial kitchens, meeting spaces for smaller groups, overnight lodging, and a professional staff to make your event a success. Call 517-669-8321 or visit stfrancis.ws to book your event today.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
In the 14th rule of St. Ignatius of Loyola's 14 rules for the discernment of spirits, St. Ignatius teaches that the enemy looks in turn at all of our theological, cardinal, and moral virtues. And where he finds us weakest and most in need for our eternal salvation, there he attacks us and attempts to take us. Once we have identified our weakest spiritual point, we can work to strengthen it. Father Timothy Gallagher writes, "People of discernment can prepare their resistance to these deceptions before the deceptions begin. They can learn where in their spiritual lives the enemy's deceptions are most likely to occur and prepare beforehand. If they do, the enemy may be blocked before he even begins his attack. This is the final refinement of discerning awareness, understanding, and resistance to which Ignatius would lead faithful people in these 14 rules."
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, this is Ed Bahura with Sylvan Learning Centers. This is one of our many 5-star Google reviews.
I would like to take the time to thank all of the staff at Sylvan for helping my daughter achieve her goal of attending the University of Michigan Ann Arbor with a full scholarship. My daughter has been able to maintain all A's in math and increased her SAT score by 200 points as a result of attending Sylvan.
To learn more, call 1-800-EDUCATE or visit sylvanlearning.com.
We're back here in Epiphany on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you to Becky Loveland for joining us here today, sharing with us the Michigan Catholic Women's Conference event coming up in Lansing on October 11th. All are invited. Invite somebody to go with you. Make it a girl's day out. That's a great way to, you know, engage in faith and fellowship and evangelize the faith through that invitation. And thank you to David and Marianne Robinson for joining us today, sharing with us their story as a married couple and the journey they've been on together and the struggles they face and how they overcome them in faith in Jesus Christ. And thank you to RJ Lomas for making the introduction to me of David and Marianne Robinson. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking with all of our guests here today. Coming up tomorrow, it's Parish of the Week Wednesday. We'll hear from all about the National Shrine of the Little Flower Basilica in Royal Oak. If you've never been there, it is a place to visit. It's a beautiful site, and it's a pilgrimage site. It's a nationally known shrine. And joining us will be Pastor Father John Benton. We'll also be talking to Catholic author Joseph McGivney tomorrow, speaking at the annual Detroit Bishop's Dinner next month's benefit guest house. He'll share all the details. So we have two guests joining us here tomorrow. Don't forget, we have a couple tickets still available to an event with me and Ronnie at the Shrine of Jesus, the Divine Mercy Center Vision Dinner, October 10th at Mirage Banquet Hall in Clinton Township, 877-573-7825. We'd love for you to join us, 877-573-7825. They are free. They're complimentary. We're giving them away, and we'd love for you to be our guests. 877-573-7825. So call today. That's a Vision Dinner. Kathy Crombie is our keynote speaker at the event, and I love to meet our listeners. I've met them at other events where I've given away tickets at the table, and I love to have our listeners as guests at our table. An epiphany quote I want to share with you today is from Mother Angelica. Grow in his kind of love. God is love. We have to love with his kind love. And in his dryness, desolation, and trial, we have to pray like mad because the human mind and the human soul rebel against God, against prayer, against love, against everything. Don't forget to connect, communicate, and collaborate with your Catholic community. We are your local Catholic radio station. Don't go away. Coming up next, Dr. Ray.